Welcome to Revolution Radio with today's edition of Event Horizons, anchored by Dr. Robin Falkoff, an intelligent foray into the news and events of our current time. Robin and her team are going to take you around the world with fresh perspectives on what is going on in your world today. So stay put while Robin and crew bring you to the truth of the matter here at Revolution Radio, where the truth never sleeps.
He wants a challenge. Let's give him one.
Good morning and welcome to Event Horizons. I'm your anchor, Dr. Robin Falkoff, and as always, it is a pleasure to be here with you this morning. We have a special surprise guest with some interesting history for us all, and that is Ole Damgaard, a good friend of the show, whose website is lightonconspiracies.com. He has an over 30-year history of doing work, covering so much around the world, all these events around the world, not only the Bilderbergers, but dirty dealings that have gone on in Sweden with government cover-ups and so much more. And he has a very clear and calming perspective. No fear-mongering taking place there, guys. And that is wonderful. That's something we desperately need, not to be allowing ourselves to be bulldozed by the fear-mongering that's rampant out there. Oh my gosh, where can you turn without all of this insanity being pushed down our throats? So, pretty crazy stuff. And I have to say, it's interesting getting my news perspective from so many different places. And I've gotten things down to timing where I see different networks. And lo and behold, we have Dish. And Dish did not work out their payment agreements with CNN, Turner Broadcasting, and some of the other stations. So that's great. They want to screw that up. I can always go online and see the updates from those networks, which I'll get to in the second hour because Ole will be with us for an hour and I have all these headlines lined up. There's so much going on. I mean, we'll get to Warren Buffett losing $2 billion in 2 days, and lots more because there are questions everywhere. But first of all, a big thank you to our audience, to our listeners. You are our extended family. You're around the world, and what you have done has kept us on the air, continues to do so, and it means the world to know how much we are valued here at Revolution Radio by our listeners. Gosh, guys, this is the future of broadcasting. It is taking it to the people, and the people respond and support the information sources that they value, not just getting free propaganda on the television. Sometimes one has to escape from it, and I find there's less and less with the news that I even want to see there. So fortunately, there are other choices while I am doing my long and drawn-out raw food preparations. So I'm much better with my timing on that. And if you're listening, Producer Jerry, the green juicing is down to about 25 minutes. That's from the 2 hours years ago last year, when producer was Jerry was producing for me, and it just would keep me up all night. And anyhow, for those of you who juice, you understand preparation is everything. And that's the bottom line, guys. Preparation, you know, becoming more organized and focused and prepared so you can address what is necessary and know that you have things in place, that you are more secure because you're prepared. So we can cover all of that in the second hour, but I want to thank you all once again those of you who head on over to freedomslips.com and use that button to donate, it means the world to us. You guys have stepped up and allowed this transition to a secure new server to take place seamlessly. And boy, oh boy, are we lucky that Nighthawk wears so many hats and makes all these miracles occur. So thank you again for stepping up and making that happen. And please remember, if you are able to donate those higher amounts of $100 or $200, even there are lower amounts where there are seed packages available, use them with your community, your neighbors, your friends. Get everybody involved. This is what it's about. This is how we build the strong foundations that are necessary that will rebuild our world, guys, because it takes all of us. All of us united, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. Well, once we no longer allow ourselves to be manipulated by those lies and the hatred, the outright hatred of divide and conquer. My God, you hear all of these stories and people online that share the apologies for their governments taking such horrific actions against others. It's an embarrassment to the people of so many countries. They don't want war. We don't want war. I don't want war. I don't know anybody that wants war. I mean, there are, I shouldn't say that, there are some people that do, but once you get some clarity and you look at how you've been manipulated, boy, oh boy, does your perspective ever change. And we're not here to tell you what to do. We are here to offer information so you can make the necessary choices. And that, my friends, is a really big deal, having that opportunity, which is what it is. Because I've had people tell me, oh, well, I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to look. How could I have found the information? And I find that horribly disappointing in this day and age with access to so much online. When I think of what, oh my gosh, my friends and neighbors in Florida years ago, they were so ahead of everything. And I'm blessed to have been in the right place at the right time and have had such wonderful influences. But they had done their research about vaccines for their children. They had done their research about eating right, about the basics, covering the basics. It's all possible. And that's why I ask our audience, please understand the power that you have and the responsibility that this information is for each and every one of you that knows. There are so many that don't have this access. You can be that lifeline. You can reach out with a smile, a hello, how are you, and just let people know what they can do. And that's incredible, my friends. That truly is. And I ask you to do that. It doesn't hurt. It's fast. It's easy. And you will get such incredible feedback. Oh my God. You will get your heart lifted as you see somebody else's face light up when suddenly they realize they're not invisible. Yeah, you're talking to them. They exist. You know, you picked your eyes up, lifted them from that fixed stare at your cell phone clutched in the palm of your hand, and you are looking into the eyes of your fellow neighbors, the people in your community, and you start the conversations and you make plans, people join together, you participate at events to make things better. That's what it's all about. It's not about being in agreement about which party. I mean, that's quite an illusion to start with, but about the need for everyone to make it better. So I urge you all, reach out to me. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what's on your mind, what you find is not being covered by the media in your area and the newspapers. And I'm trying to spell and type at the same time, and it's getting a bit challenging, but I'll be able to do that in just one moment. But guys, it is of critical importance that you and I, on this grassroots level, reach out and get those bonds in place, because we are all we have. You cannot rely on the government to step up and be there to help. There's so many disasters everywhere. I mean, it's just not feasible. But together, we, the 99%, can make those miracles and bring about the changes we need. And somebody who's been doing that for over 30 years is my colleague and friend Ole Damgaard, and it is a pleasure to bring him on and get his perspective. As I said, what a relief to not have more fear-mongering, and I am so curious to see where his research has led into things like the origins of the CDC and so much more. So it's becoming much smoother adding people. I hope everyone who produces that's listening is saying, yeah, it's about time. But it's done. And here we are with Ole. Good morning, Ole. How are you?
Good morning, Robin. I'm super good. Thank you. And you?
I'm good. So happy to hear from you and know that there will be clear and calm discussion without ramping up that fear-mongering.
If you want fear, I'm the wrong person.
I know.
If you want... I tell you, this whole thing, it just makes me yawn. It's the same again and again and again. We heard it so many times before. They just changed the name of whatever they want to scare us with. Yeah. So I would strongly suggest that we should not be afraid of what they're trying to say is the fearful thing. We should be afraid of their solution, the solution that they present us.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's what it's all putting us in line for, their so-called solutions. Yep.
Exactly. I would just, if I can take you back on a trip back in history for a while.
Please.
Just to give you some perspective.
Yes.
Do you know, after the Second World War, you had the whole financial structure behind the Hitler Nazi war machine. Very few people are aware of that. It was the same financial structure behind both sides in both world wars and so on, there to finance the war to go on for as long as possible. And some of the key people in this were the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and so on. And when we came to 1945 and the war ended, and we had the Nuremberg trials, there was Hermann Göring and then quite a few other people, low-ranking generals and so on, that were sitting there and having to take the fall for or responsibility for the whole Third Reich, the whole Hitler machine, everything. But I would strongly suggest that this was a theater play for the masses. You had a small group that took the fall, just like a patsy that had to take the fall for an assassination and so on.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So these were sentenced, some of them committed suicide and so on. And the whole world just thought, oh my God, thank God we finally got rid of the Nazi threat to the world. Let's live in peace and harmony forever after. Well, what happened was that what people were not aware of was that the so-called Operation Paperclip was set up. This was one of the key people in this was a man by the name of Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles and his brother John Foster Dulles were some Wall Street lawyers that was deeply involved in helping Hitler during the war. And with the Rockefellers and the Rothschild owning more than half of IG Farben, this chemical giant that supplied all of these awful things to the concentration camps and was also the whole machine behind Hitler. They were the owners, part owners of that, and funding this whole thing. And one of the key people when it came to the funding was Prescott Bush. That's George Bush Sr.'s father. He was the guy that delivered the money, not from his own pockets, but from many different areas. So after the Second World War, you suddenly have this Wall Street lawyer who was later one of the people creating the OSS that later turned into the CIA. His name was Alan Dulles, deeply involved in the JFK assassination and then member of the Warren Commission there to cover the whole thing up. Okay, so this Operation Paperclip was an operation to export all of these extremely skilled scientists, German scientists. And they managed to export about 1,600 researchers, doctors, scientists into military intelligence, all of these things, because the Germans were very good at these things. And they had done a lot of awful experimentation and these awful tests and trials and whatever on prisoners and people in the concentration camps and so on. These people were exported through what was called Operation Paperclip, many of them through the rat lines from the Vatican, and imported into the USA and countries in South America and so on, where people like Mengele, Klaus Barbier and so on just changed their names and continued business as usual. Now, this was in 1946, and I just want to point out that at the exact same time in the U.S., a certain company called CDC was created. That is the Center for Disease Control. I would call it the Center for Disease Creation. That would be a more appropriate name.
Yes.
And many, many of these scientists, as they were called distinguished scientists, this is what they were called, were employed at the CDC. At least that is what I've been able to find out. So you have this whole awful, awful monster under Hitler imported into the States and put in work right away. They were the ones that started creating the whole MKUltra thing. They were deeply involved in the creation, people like Reinhard Gehlen, and so the creation of the CIA, the whole build-up of this organization. They were part of building up NASA with Wernher von Braun and so on. So you have to see that the roots are extremely deep into Nazism, you know, fascism, awful, awful, awful stuff. And this is the very same company, CDC. It's a profit company, pro-profit company. It's not a federal or any type of, organization for the benefit of the American people. Absolutely not. It's a privately owned, pro-profit company. Very strongly connected with the CIA. Lots of the staff at the CDC often are sent to Langley to get special training, high clearance special training, whatever that means, and sent back. CDC is located in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay. Who was invited to the Bilderberg meeting this summer? I was one of those key speakers outside the meeting, the people that was trying to expose what was going on. And for the listeners who might not know about the Bilderberg group, this is a very big part of a hidden world government that has been working in the background, in the dark, for years and years and years. And this group consists of mostly bankers, people way up in society, royalties, top politicians, prime ministers, presidents, these type of things in the Western world. This year, after 60 years, they meet once a year at super secret locations and so on. This year, there was a mayor from the U.S., first time ever as far as I know, and I've been looking into this group for a long time, a mayor was invited, as well as a group of specialist in bio warfare and chemistry and so on. Some health ministers as well. That is not normal either. We had, for instance, Paulo Macedo from Portugal. We had Edith Schipper from the Netherlands, and there were some Danish people as well. There were biochemists like Heather Monroe Bloom, Søren Peter Olesen, Jørgen Hanu Rasmussen from Denmark, and so on. So these people, very unusual, came to the Bilderberg meeting at around the 1st of June in Copenhagen. And another man that was invited, this mayor I talked to you about, his name was Kasim Reed. He's the mayor of Atlanta.
Ah, okay.
Where was the epicenter? Where did the whole thing start? In Atlanta, a few months after the meeting. It's always the Bilderberg Group have the meeting, and then it's like 2-3 months of preparation, and it's always, almost always, around this time of year, you know, September, October, November. That is when they hit whatever was decided. That is when the actual operation starts. We waited to see this year what's going to happen. I had no idea this was on the agenda, because officially it wasn't. And then this whole thing starts. Before the meeting, just a handful of cases. After the meeting, it just started skyrocketing. Okay, so what are we looking at? We're looking at some key players in this whole thing. The CDC, they're the ones saying, oh my God, we need to vaccinate everyone. They're the ones behind the whole thing with vaccinations that are being presented to us as the solution to the problem. They always use the old Roman template, problem, reaction, solution. They secretly create a problem to scare the crap out of you. That's the reaction. They want the reaction, oh my God, oh my God. And then the solution they are serving us are the vaccines. Are you still with me?
I'm with you. I don't want to interrupt a thing you're saying.
No, I normally get disconnected. As soon as I talk about these things, I get disconnected.
Let's not remind them, Ole.
No. Anyway, if they're listening in, please have a nice day.
Take notes.
Why don't you? Yeah, but also get a life, guys. Come on. Understand that you are working for the enemy. You think that you're working for somebody just because you're getting a lot of high pay and so on, that you think you're doing a good thing. You are not. It is an absolute disgrace what you are involved in, you know. And you are on down the line, you will be taken care of as well. If they get away with what they're trying to do, you will be in the line, disposable, you know. Collateral damage, or whatever they call it. They will just get rid of you too. So instead of listening in and trying to interfere here, I would say, please listen, learn, and get another job, something that will do good in the world. What you're up to, a disgrace. Look yourself in the mirror. I would not be very proud.
Well, anyway. One of my friends has the line that sums that up so well, that the lie is different at every level. And you think about how people are manipulated by being told they have the inside track and this is for the good of the people, but they don't know it and you can help. And it goes on and on.
They always use total compartmentalization, you know.
Yeah.
You only know your little part. You do not know the whole picture. And it's done by design. They do that on all levels so that no one will really understand what they're part of. I would say big time to wake up. A very good time to wake up now.
Yeah.
Anyway, the CDC, they also hold the patent for the Ebola virus. Oh my God, how surprised am I? Do you know, then people say, but isn't it good that they have the patent, because then they can help to control it? I just want to inform you, to get a patent, you have to be an inventor. You have to come up with something totally unique that no one else has created to get a patent. The Ebola patent, where it was created, belongs to the CDC. Okay? It was created in the 70s together with the AIDS virus under the supervision of a man called Robert Gallo. He was later the one that was claimed to have found the AIDS virus. He's like, give him a medal for finding it. Thank you very much. He had a budget, I think it was about $10 million, to create these biochemical warfare weapons that are being, they're aimed to be used against us, you know. So anyway, so they have the patent as well. So instead of looking at West Africa and thinking, oh my God, Africa is totally out of control, that's where it is, they're to blame for the whole thing. No, they are not. It all stems from Atlanta, Georgia, CDC. That's where the patent is. That's where the whole setup is. That's where the main players are. and so on. Then if we go to the CIA, I mean, this charming agency, please notice that it's called agency. It is because they are for rent. You can rent them. If you're a big company and you need their services, you can pay them and they will do it. They call themselves the Central Intelligence Agency. I always call them the Central Madness Agency because they're up to absolute mad things, you know. No concern for the American people whatsoever. They're there to destroy, control and destroy, you know. So people listening in from the CIA, once again, look yourself in the mirror. My God, what are you up to, guys? It is not okay. Give it up. NSA, go home. Get a life. Take care of your family. See what you're doing to the rest of the world. It is not okay. You have a small group of people controlling you that are totally mad. They're absolutely mad. Read through Agenda 21. That's right there for you, right in front of you. These people are mad. It will only be a matter of time before they will be looked upon as people like Adolf Hitler. Same type, same quality of personalities, you know. They are the ones controlling you. It is time to wake up. Anyway, we look at the Ebola, the first Ebola virus. It was created in the 70s. So my God, where did it happen? Well, the first outbreak, the original outbreak of Ebola was in Zaire. Of course, they do it in Africa. Okay, it was 1976, right when it was invented. Let's try it out, and let's try it out for some poor buggers in a country we don't care about. Not true, because we do care about the minerals and the gold and the diamonds, so let's just plunder the place. So the dear old CIA was there, the Central of Absolute Madness Agency, and they wanted to go in and just knock out Angola. Zaire and Angola are very closely connected. There was a civil war going on. And this year, the U.S. was violating a Senate law that forbid the U.S. from engaging in this civil war. So what did they did? What did they do? Instead, they put in this virus. The CIA went down there, started spreading this virus so that, oh my God, we have a problem. We have a problem. Emergency. Get the reaction. Oh my God, you need to go down there and sort it out. You need to help these poor people that you just infected. So what did they do? They send down military people down there. They should have sent doctors and that's at least my humble opinion. Get some doctors down there, some people that are specialists in stopping this. No, they send out troops.
Olay, we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to commercial. Everybody stay with us. You don't want to miss any of this. And we'll be right back. This is information you guys need to get out there and share.
You have a choice, whether to be a madman or a bold genius. What's the difference? A madman is somebody who does the same action over and over and over for an unknown destiny. A bold genius is somebody who does the same action over and over and over again for a known destiny. That is why fortune always favors the bold. True titans of our times and of the past, who are bent on making most of their opportunities in life, are too busy to bother with luck. Luck is the good fortune you determine for yourself. So find the strength. Have the knowledge. Summon up the courage to to accomplish and see that your dreams are limitless. Your dreams are the fabric that binds all of us together. Rise up! Rise up like fire! Ascend the ladder of your dreams. We choose to rise, not fall. We choose to live, not die. Shift to your triumph. Today, you shift to your triumph and carry your dreams forward until your life is a capital of triumph. I believe in you, and I know you can do whatever you want. You have an unlimited potential. This moment, this second, your life is an Olympian sunrise. This is your time.
This is your time, right here at RevolutionRadio.com, to rise up and make the difference. Revolution Radio, PremiumSlips.com, listener supported, 100%.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a civil majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have. Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Is your data safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? We'll squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP-proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And we are back. Thank you for listening. Oh my gosh, you are audience. You are amazing, and we value you. With me is Ole Damgaard. Be sure to check out his website, lightonconspiracies.com. Over 30 years of experience as an investigative journalist, reporter, author. Lots of information there, guys. Just make sure you got time, because you're not going to be leaving it very soon. Okay, Ole, I'm glad that was just an easy little Skype glitch. So
it's standard. It's standard.
Yeah.
I keep getting it every time. But anyway, I just want to say, if anybody would like to support me, because I'm just an ordinary guy, I'm not paid for this or anything like that, please sign up for my newsletter, my membership area, buy my books or donation, whatever. It is extremely appreciated.
Perfect, yes.
So can I go back to this Ebola thing?
Yes, please, of course.
No, it's just I get tired because it's just repeating itself. If it's, you know, if it's not the swine flu, then it's the crazy cow flu, then it's the Ebola, then it's the next time it will be the blown up monkey upside down flu or whatever they come up with. It's the same again and again and again.
Yes, I share your frustration, Ole. It's you know, they and people fall for it. That's part of the problem.
Part of the problem. We should just laugh at them. I mean, now they came up with, I love that one. They came up with, they said that ISIS, ISIS, the new boogeyman, that they have the warriors that have offered to infect themselves with Ebola and then come to the Western world and spread. It's like, have they hired Monty Python to write the script? What is, it's so badly done. And if you take ISIS for real, can I just take a quick little go through of the first leader of ISIS? His name was, I can't even remember, Saqqari or something like that. First he died in 2005, then he died in 2006, then he came back, then he was arrested, then he escaped, and then he died in 2009, I believe. Okay, the second one.
Oh, just like Bin Laden. Okay.
I know. These people are amazing. I mean, the physics and the strength of these people.
Very religious overtones for resurrection.
It is. It's amazing. I get inspired. Then the next one that took over, oh, we can't give them, you know, a very difficult name. It needs to be somebody that people can remember so they can keep spreading the fear. So what are we going to come up with? Ibrahim? No, that's too complicated. Baghdad, they know Baghdad. We've blown that place to pieces so many times. So Baghdad, so let's call him Baghdadi, okay? So you got one Baghdadi, the first one. There are two of them. They don't look anywhere near each other. They're very different. And the same guy, same type of thing. You know, I can't remember the years exactly, but 2007 he was dead. Then he blew himself up in an attack somewhere. Then he was arrested, released, and then dead. So 2000, and then I think it was 2010, Baghdadi number two took over. And now he's reportedly dead, so I'm sure he's going to come back tomorrow. Come on, people, wake up. It's not even fun anymore. It's so on such a level that Monty Python couldn't even make it up. We wouldn't even laugh because it's so bad. And we're buying it, so it's not okay to be asleep like this anymore. Anyway, we go back to the Ebola, the horrible Ebola. The first outbreak when 76 in Sair, who was the CIA director at that time? Guess who? George Bush Sr. So central again and again, and I cannot say how many times this Bush family is right in the center of all of these atrocities.
Mm.
Super, super, super criminals. I mean, they really make Adolf Hitler look like a schoolboy, I tell you. They've had their hands dipped in so many people's deaths that it's unreal. Okay, so they went for it in Zaire. The Senate had said that no, you cannot go to Angola. You are not allowed to enter there and mess them up. Well, what did they do? They went there, gave them this this whole thing through vaccine. They got the whole thing started. So, of course, they needed to help the poor people of Zaire, sending down troops there to mess the whole situation up. Then in 1980, you know, when they couldn't really, they couldn't make, get everything done down there, then the first HIV outbreak came. Where was that? In Zaire and Angola. Who was still there? George Bush, the CIA. Again, this is the whole thing. It is a CIA operation to scare the crap out of you, offering you the solution to go to your local FEMA camp. You know, you can come there. They will give you, welcome you with a nice drink, I'm sure, in the waiting room. Maybe you can have a sandwich while waiting for a very deadly vaccine. The danger is in the vaccine and in the FEMA camps. These are modern-day concentration camps. Stay away. Whatever you do, stay away from these camps. And whoever works there or has anything to do with them, I need to say, shame on you. What are you doing to the rest of us? You must have started to wonder once you're walking around in these beautiful new installations with barbed wire and handles only on the outside, so nobody, you can only go in and never come out. You must have wondered yourself, what is this place? Is this some kind of extermination camp? Answer is yes. You need
to see. It looks like a duck and walks like a duck. Yep.
It doesn't take too much thinking to do. And outside Atlanta are where these coffins have been found as well. Hundreds of thousands of coffins that are built so that you can take three people or more, three bodies or not more, but three bodies, you know. Just outside Atlanta, same thing. I would say they're either they're meant to be used, in that case, for the population of the U.S., or they're there to scare you. Scare the crap out of you. Whatever it is, stay away. Stay away from the needles. Stay away from their solution. Whatever they try to do to you, you know, and say, because this, I've been warning for this, me, I myself and other people for years, the setup with the FEMA camps will be, oh, there's this danger. Come to your local FEMA camp. You can have a nice sandwich. We will take care of you. We're stacked here with antibiotics and food and water. Please come in. Don't worry about that. You will never be able to leave. You know, it's like Hotel California. Mm. You can enter, but you can never leave. That's the story of these places.
I have to share something with you, Ole, and I'm curious if you find the same thing in Spain or observed it in Sweden. Here in a little town like Albuquerque, and of course coming from New York City, every place else is little, there are chain drugstores. The two main ones are Walgreens and CVS, and they are on every major cross street. I find it mind-boggling in a city with a population of less than a million, and I don't even know how many drugstores are there, and they all have their big signs, come and get your flu shots, you know, and then when everything fell apart with H1N1, it was, come and get your free flu shots, we're giving it away. So
it's so nice of them, isn't it?
Do you have that in Spain? Do they have so many drugstores in place to administer these horrible vaccines?
I live in Spain, and there are a lot of drugstores, but these are privately owned, like franchises. But the thing is, you are at the front line at the moment. They are aiming the major punch is towards you at the moment. I'm very sorry to say that.
Yeah.
But you are the ones that are taking the major blows at the moment. And that is also why it is so critical that you, of all people, need to wake up. It is in your country it's happening, and they're really going for you. And one of the major reasons for that is that you are the only armed population on the earth. they cannot mess around with you if you they cannot get you to give up the weapons or somehow else get to you through a virus or something else, you know. So they're really hitting you from all directions at the moment.
Definitely. Yeah, so, it underlines the need for being prepared, for being self-sufficient.
Totally. I just want to emphasize that I am not here to spread fear. I know what we're talking about is very scary. Absolutely not here to spread fear, hatred, anger, revenge, none of these things. So please be aware of the virus is real. The vaccines are the danger. The whole epidemic thing, I would say it's a major hoax, and they carried out so badly. I mean, these you will see it's made like a marketing campaign. You know, they've had their meetings, they've gone it through. We need a logo. It's just like if you want to sell a packet of you know, like cornflakes or popcorn or whatever. How are we going to do it? We need a logo. We need color for the marketing and trademark jingles, and they take the colors from the bio, what is it called, the biohazard warning sign, and you know, it's fluorescent green,
yeah, and breaking
sharp
up
yellow.
Yeah,
and it would be on somebody with dark skin.
It's a lot of subliminal messaging in all of the trademarks and logos that are out there.
It would be, can you hear me now?
Yes, this is much better. Oops.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, so the colors they are using.
You're breaking up.
So the colors they are using for this Ebola campaign is a very. Can you hear me now?
Nope, you're not coming through.
Hello.
We left off with the colors that they're using. So the colors once again,
hello.
Please. Up cell phone, so just in case there's a problem, here we go, and we'll get Olay back. Give it a moment. Okay, we are back, and I will get Olay back on the line. I just have to prepare my guests not to call me back because they can't be on the air that way. There's only one way to get the connection going unless they're calling the show numbers. So let me see about adding Olay. And he's coming up again. Come on, Skype, hold the connection. Okay, got you back. You have
my
to
be God.
Bring you back on because otherwise I can't get you on the air. There's just a, you know, steps that I have to go through to do that. I can give you the call-in number for the next time just in case, but we've got you back. I lost my connection too. Everything went down.
How unusual. I'm just saying to the same guys, please get a life. This concerns you as well, you know. This is not only for us, it is for you as well.
We all share this planet together.
We do indeed. I just want to say the colors that they used for the Ebola campaign to play with your subconscious is a fluorescent green and a very sharp yellow, most of the time on a person with dark skin. Look at the photos that come from these areas. Look at the people crawling around looking very sick, green T-shirts. In the background, you got very green cups or a very sharp yellow bucket, or you got doctors in green plastic bags or yellow plastic bag with green gloves. And it's so these are the colors that go through, and very often on a person with a dark skin in the background, so that your subconscious will think, oh, it has nothing to do with Chicago. The threat is from Africa. Africa. This is the whole thing.
Yep.
And
I've observed that and seen the analyses, and it's like, boom, you know, you're putting it out there for so many. Now suddenly the blinders come off their eyes.
Check it out yourself. I'm not making these things up.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And you see, like, when they brought this nurse to Spain, I mean, they always, in these false flag operations, they love nurses missionaries, priests, and nuns on the outskirts, because they play this black and white game, you know, bad, good, you know. So these fantastic people like this nurse, an angel, went to Africa, to the bad place, and got infected, bad, was taken back. So who brought her back? Have we spoken about this, that she came back in a military plane where the pilots were without any type of protection, and the people in the plastic bag, I'm starting to call them the plastic bag people, I think they got garbage bin bags or something like that they use as uniforms, you know. Then they get this victim out of the plane in a totally amateur way, breaking all the rules when it comes to medical, medically well-trained people and so on. And then the people in plastic bags salute the ambulance that arrives to pick her up. What does that mean? It means that the plastic bag guy is a military guy, mm-hmm. not medical, and that it seems like there's a higher-ranking officer in the ambulance. Why else would they salute the ambulance? And the whole thing, it's just so badly done. It's down to Monty Python again, you know, if you really start breaking it down. And listen, Robin, I have another interview in 5 minutes, so I need to leave you. But if I can just ask people to sit down, breathe slowly, breathe in, look out of the window. Are there heaps of dead people and zombie people walking around in the streets? I would suggest not. Look out, you know, breathe in. Do not think that it's irresponsible not to be informed by the black box, because that is where they get you. Turn it off. Turn off their megaphone. That is like a massive big hole of fear that they're trying to push into you. Please remember, danger is real. There are real dangers. Fear is only in the mind, and it's about something yet to happen. Fear is a state of mind for something yet to happen. You can control your mind. One of the best ways is to breathe deeply. Take a walk, cuddle with your dog, you know, go for a swim, hug your loved one, and breathe. Sit down. If you need to make any drastic decisions, then do it when you're calm, not when you're running around like a headless chicken being totally freaked out. So My advice would, whatever you do, please stay away, or at least inform yourself very much about what are FEMA camps, what is inside these vaccines. You can see, like, In Lies We Trust by Leonard Horovitz and other things like that. They will describe it in great detail before you put these awful needles inside into your children. You are responsible for your children, and these vaccines can be deadly. So please, please, I beg you, stay away from them, whatever you do. Ebola can be cured by high doses of C vitamins and other ways, natural ways. Don't freak out. Breathe.
Guys, wow, that was great. I know Ole had another appearance and interview coming up, so we thank him for being with us, and lots of great information. I don't know why he was sharing other unfounded claims, but I know his intentions are good. So big thanks to him. We're going to break, and we'll be back with more information that you guys need to get out there and share.
Message. anti-aircraft gun pointed to action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning.
We are far stronger than we were 10 weeks ago.
All general quarters, all hands men your battle stations.
Be nervous, count your toes. I'll do the mastermind around here.
You who have not seen it do not know what hell looks like from the top.
Bam, check it out every Tuesday and Saturday on Revolution Radio. It's a double dose of the internationally recognized renegade military historian, Douglas Dietrich.
You'll stay right where you are till I tell you to move out.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight Eastern Time, join Douglas Dietrich as he exposes the truth in hidden history on his show Critical Omissions. And then our human weapon of mass destruction is back once again to take your calls on Saturday night firing lines. Both from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Enjoy your
extra big-ass fries!
You didn't give me no fries, I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big-ass fries!
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make a purchase.
Oh, no, no!
I'm sorry you're
having
trouble.
Come on!
I'm
my kids are starving!
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship.
You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth.
You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try. Imagine.
Revolution Radio. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And we are back. Oh my gosh, guys, thank you for listening. Sorry for all the technical problems that we had in the previous hour, but I thank you guys for being here and for all that you do to make it possible for Revolution Radio to be on the air. We truly are listeners sponsored, supported, however you want to say it. It's you guys that keep us out here getting that necessary information to you so that you can make informed choices. That's what it's all about. You know, I mean, and that's the focus of what I do. That's how I came up with my name for my website, my corporation, Health Freedom Rights, because it's a right to have access to that necessary information so that we can make informed choices and decide for ourselves. And right now we are in times of, oh gosh, such fear on so many levels and such panic with many that just get swept away by the mainstream media, pushing them into all of this endless, what can I say, guys? Endless enemies on every front, wherever you turn. And you have a choice. You have a choice to buy into the fear or step back from it. And I urge you, step back from it. There's more than enough time to be worrying when something happens. And the best preparation that you can have to deal with things is by being self-sufficient, by having strong communities, strong neighborhoods, networking with each other. That's the power that we the people have to share with each other. And I know how confusing it is, and people wonder, well, what can I do and what should I take and what is going on? Well, right now, the options are those being put out there by our government. There are many groups urging them to consider other natural treatments, but that's not what the focus is right now. Right now, what is being discussed on the mainstream media are the vaccines, a lot of the new drug research, and this all ramps into high gear when there is concern about the virus, about any health condition. So guys, understand what good food will do. It'll give you a foundation to be stronger, to be able to have your body in balance so that perhaps you'll be in the lower percentage that doesn't get killed off by these diseases because you've worked on the foundation of your body, of that balance. And my gosh, guys, good food is hard to find. For someone like myself who's on a raw diet, it is a challenge. And the best thing to do is really get self-sufficient. And I am behind on my task. And it's time to play catch up because we still have so many boxes everywhere. Gosh. But that's just a matter of time to get it all in place. And lots to cover, guys. Lots to cover. So let me get to some of the headlines. And once again, it's the top of the hour. Let me thank you all for being here. And a big thanks to Nighthawk and the network and all of the staff here. We're all volunteer and we all make this magic available to each and every one of you. We make it happen every day, all day, and you can access it. You can go to the archives and support our network with that $4.95 a month, and then you got the ability to load those smart devices, leave the house, and when you're out and about and waiting in a long line, play the show. And don't put in your earbuds. Let other people hear what is going on, what is being discussed, and you will watch the light come on in so many eyes around you as they hear this information that they are searching for, to find a place, to find one source that will be able to help them answer their questions and understand what they need to do. So, my friends, it is truly challenging, but together we can deal with any challenge. We can make the magic and we can rebuild our societies. And I'm just checking on my connection. Okay, it looks like we are still good. And yes, as long as the counter is going, we are good. So, my friends, lots of headlines for you. Oh my gosh, lots of information lined up. I mentioned before that one of the headlines that I did see out there was about Warren Buffett. And lo and behold, he loses $2 billion in 2 days. This is on CNN Money, and it's written by Gregory Wallace. And this came out yesterday, and it's a really short clip that I will play for you. But let me plug in my headphones, because right now we're going to have to be subjected to a question, an advertisement. So I'm going to block that out, and hopefully you will still hear me, and this can play, and then we will hear that short clip about Warren Buffett. Because he's known for shunning the quick buck and focusing on the long-term performance of his investments, so he's best not to change that this week. His Berkshire Hathaway investment house holds big pieces of Coke and IBM, both of which have taken a drubbing in the past 2 days. And here we go. Here's the story from CNN Money.
Warren Buffett in 90 seconds. Investment genius, philanthropist, and the lily player? Warren Buffett is one of the richest men in the world. Number three in fact. He has $63 billion. He does capitalism better than almost anybody, but with a Robin Hood strategy. Before he started giving his fortune away, he had to build it. It starts with kids. Warren was born in the middle of the Depression and in the middle of the country. As a kid, he delivered newspapers and rented out pinball machines for a profit. It was the first of many. Just how did the Oracle of Omaha earn his billions? Investing. Really freakishly smart investing. He's been the chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway since 1970. And over time, he's turned it into a holding company. And they hold a lot. The company bought Geico way before the get-go, like 1952 before. Dairy Queen, Fruit of the Loom, Benjamin Moore, all part of Warren's empire. On top of buying whole companies, Warren knows how to pick stocks pretty much better than anyone. That's why one share of Berkshire Hathaway will cost you about $200,000. That's right, $200,000 for one share. When he's not making hordes of money, he lives the simple life. He still lives in Omaha. He hasn't bought a new house since 1958. He loves to play games of bridge with fellow billionaire Bill Gates. Maybe that's where they talk about giving away all their money. And did I mention he plays the ukulele?
That's the story of love.
And that's Warren Buffett in 90 seconds.
Okay, guys, and here's the story
I just woke up today.
Okay. Okay, so he took a $1 billion hit on Coke, which fizzled at 6% on Tuesday. That's yesterday, after the company reported earnings that didn't live up to expectations. Even worse, Coke said it didn't expect a much better 2015. Coke is one of Buffett's largest investments. He holds 400 million shares, and his son Howard sits on the beverage company's board. And he likes the products, too. Buffett is often seen enjoying Cherry Coke. The pain started on Monday for him. Another top holding lost $1.3 billion as the stock plunged. That was IBM. The company is looking for a reboot after reporting disappointing disappointing earnings and shedding its chip unit at a major loss. The stock dropped 7% on Monday after the then news was announced and slid again on Tuesday. It's off nearly 13% so far this year, and Buffett's company holds 70 million shares over there. He's made a lot of headlines this year for his misses and his investment in British grocery chain Tesco has also spoiled and dropped nearly 47% this year. But it's not all bad news for Berkshire. Investors are sticking with their icon. Berkshire stock climbed slightly on Monday and Tuesday is up more than 17% this year, far outpacing the broader market. IBM and Coke may be struggling, but Buffett's largest position, Wells Fargo, has climbed 11% this year. And despite the recent market dip, Buffett has been buying. He said in an interview earlier this month that he was shopping, adding that the more stocks go down, the more I like to buy. Okay, not everybody else is that fortunate, because the more stocks go down, the more losses they have and cannot get into buying. So for some of the other headlines that are in place, let me get over to them. And here we go. Oh, my gosh. Okay, there was good news. Let me give you something good, right, guys, instead of all this horrible stuff. And good news about a police officer. That's always welcome to hear those stories, because this is from an officer in the Denver Police Department. His name is Officer Dean Walker. And on Wednesday, the 1st of October, a Denver man and his wife called the Denver police as a last resort to help with their son, who has Asperger's and was growing increasingly upset. This was due to changes in his environment. The family just moved to a new apartment and was short on funds. The father was 2 days from payday and the family was without food. In comes Denver Police Department District 3, Southeast Denver Officer Dean Walker. Using his various skills, he calmly talked the frustrated young man down. Kudos for that and thank you. But he didn't stop there. He recognized how frustrating hunger can make anyone and took the young man to get something to eat. The family was beyond grateful for Dean's kindness and calming demeanor. Guys, this is what our police has to be trained to do, to calm and not accelerate these situations, to recognize that these are people that are just in need of someone who will listen and understand and get them to just wind down. So the young man's father wrote a thank you note to Dean. He and his wife are sure that the actions of Dean, Officer Dean, kept the situation from escalating and that a bad day for their son was turned into a great one with those simple acts taken by Officer Dean. Big thank you to him. And let's hope we see lots more like that. Now, I'd like to give you a heads up for a guest that will be on tomorrow in the second hour. Oh, wait a second. I'm sorry, guys. I forgot. I've got to bring on Gail Marie. Today's Wednesday. Oh, my apologies. I'll do that at the bottom of the next hour. Whoops. Okay. Oh, my gosh. I forgot it's Wednesday. Sorry, guys. Oh, my gosh. And Gail Marie, if you're listening, I'm sorry, because I need your wise words. Oh, do I ever. Oh, gosh. Always to have that calming influence of our Gail Marie, our wise woman. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I guess I forgot what day it is, Gail. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Boy, I need your calm words.
Oh. Well, you know what? Let's start out with something a little different, but really interesting. Bhutan is a country that's bordered in the Middle East with Saudi Arabia. I just want to read this one little piece about it.
Please. Yeah.
Bhutan is the only country to have officially adopted gross national happiness instead of the gross domestic product as the main development indicator.
Love it.
In 2006, based on a global survey, Business Week rated Bhutan the happiest country in Asia and the eighth happiest country in the world.
Wow, that's impressive.
Isn't it?
That truly is.
So there is some hope. I think we have a way to go, but
yes,
because our leaders don't seem to find gross national happiness all that appealing.
Yes, that's for sure.
So lots of excitement here in Canada.
What's going on?
I was actually just doing a search before you called. Well, yesterday or the day before, I think it was the day before, on the 19th, in Quebec, there was allegedly two soldiers that were hit by a quote-unquote terrorist, so hit with their car. Oh. And the quote-unquote terrorist tried to get away, and the police killed him. So, of course, now he's this radical, and look at his Facebook page, all the things he's been writing and stuff like that. So whatever's going on, they're starting to ramp up the whole idea of terrorism hitting Canada. And, of course, we only have the story that the mainstream has, you know, fed to us, right?
Yeah.
And then this morning, and I don't have a lot on this, but this morning, allegedly, there was a shooting at Parliament Hill in Ottawa. So, again, it just happened. I just read about it like 20 minutes ago. So there's not a lot about it, but there's a lot of headlines saying shooting at Parliament Hill on lockdown and all that sort of stuff. And actually what I was doing when you called in is I was just trying to do a Google search to see if there's been any exercises planned.
Right. I was, yep. You're right there. Go ahead. What'd you find?
Yeah. Well, I didn't find anything. I was continuing through the search, but you know what? I don't think Canada is as, like, I think when it happens in the U.S., you can usually find it posted somewhere, but I don't think Canada's quite so forthcoming with that information. So, I mean, I'll keep looking because what are the chances we've gone hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years with nothing. And within 2 days, there's two, you know, of these kinds of attacks that they're labeling. Well, I don't know if they're labeling the shooting today terrorists, but of course, everybody will label it that because they started the whole terrorist label 2 days ago with those two soldiers being run over or hit by the car.
Sure.
So here we go.
Well, yes, it's always, you know, as if that kind of stuff ramps up, they just want us focused on one area so they can do their behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Now, I was reading, and this was from a fellow in the UK. I was just reading some comments because that's actually an interesting case, and I'll send you some links to him. He's doing a private prosecution, this gentleman, Michael Doherty, in the UK. And so, of course, if you're familiar with getting into anything legal, you know, you start out with one little thing, and it ends up being like a web because the lawyers and the whole system just creates this web of controversy and, you know, anything to muddy the waters. So he was in court the other day, and it had been, I guess, 3 years since he filed the charge.
Okay. And so
the justice it's a justice. Let me just just want to find his exact words. Where is it? Okay, this is the post that Michael did. Breaking: judge stops prosecution of a member of the Metropolitan Police due to her human rights. And the reason for it was that it took too long to get in front of a judge or a justice. So whatever she did, it doesn't matter because it took 3 years to get there, and the justice is saying that goes against her human rights. So irregardless of what she did to Michael, you know, 3 years ago, it doesn't matter. So that's an interesting case because to him, that's just given him more sort of firepower. He's just raring to go. But I was reading comments, you know, about what's going on because, of course, they're system is no different than the rest of ours. And there was a gentleman that said, we are in trouble. We need the UN. And I'm like, oh, hold on.
Yeah, right. Uh-oh.
People recognize the UN is a trap.
Sure.
Like, they're the ones that are heading up the globalization, and they want you to call on them. I mean, and that's what these governments are doing, just making everything just so miserable that you will call the UN in. And it is a trap. You know, do not call the UN. Do not think they're your friend. They are not your friend.
Yeah. Yep. As we have seen.
Yeah, it's interesting with all this stuff going on because you really see where people are coming from. And the good thing about it, I mean, I go to the mainstream Facebook pages when they post, you know, about these terrorist things, and people are just not buying it. There is a lot of people that are buying it, but there's a lot of people that are questioning. Like I said in one of the posts about the two army guys that were allegedly hit, because the story was like, blah, blah, blah was said by a close friend and blah, blah, blah was said by an unnamed source. Mm. And I said, like, am I reading the National Enquirer?
Yep.
Because that's what it's getting like, right? And of course, people were offended that I would say that and that I would think that everything was okay, which, of course, I never said everything is okay. You know, hitting somebody with your car is not okay. I don't care who it is. It's not okay. But it's like people have a hard time getting past the emotion. They end up feeling, you know, being triggered by the emotion, and that stops their thinking.
Sure.
Like what I was posting is like, hello, we have no real sources here. I mean, I could write all kinds of stuff too and say from a close personal friend of the victim or you know, from somebody who was at the scene, whether they were or not. I mean, there's nobody's kind of taking that liability. And so we need to start questioning that because this is how the frenzies start, right? Well, so-and-so said this. And they may come back, these papers, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 months, 3 months later, and post a retraction. Oh, we were wrong. But it doesn't matter because the psychological effect has already happened.
Yeah.
And people may not read, you know, the retraction. I mean, Sandy Hook is a good example of that. You know, the FBI's come out that there was nobody harmed. And I'm not even sure that it even happened, sort of the way it was portrayed, right? But the way it was initially portrayed had a psychological effect on everybody that read about it.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So, and how long ago was that? I don't even remember how long ago that was.
With the marathon, they had probably 2 years ago, they had another marathon. So it was the year before the last one that they had.
Okay. So now, and they come out now that, oh yeah, well, it wasn't like that, but it doesn't matter now. You know what I mean? Because
those sure.
There's that whole layer now of fear that's been in paranoia and that's been, you know, created. And then 2 years of people's experiences covering, you know, and creating more layers on top of that.
Yep.
So we need to start just audit. You know what? When I question something, it has nothing to do with disrespect for the victims. In fact, it's about respecting the victims because let's get the truth out there. You know, if those soldiers were actually hit by a terrorist, then let's get the truth out there. I question whether or not the guy was a terrorist and that the government is not trying to use this for their own, you know, nefarious purposes. I could be wrong, but I don't know. See, that's the point. That's why I question.
Right, and that's what we need to do. We've got to question everything. Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you don't think that it's not true, but you just are trying to confirm that it is true. And Naomi Wolf, I mean, with her her citizen group, her citizen journalist group, she's always on them. Two sources. I need two sources. And it was actually her that I thought of when I responded, like, am I reading the National Enquirer? Because she would, as a, you know, respectable, responsible journalist, would laugh at that. You know, what are your two sources? Oh, well, that one is a friend and that one was at the scene. Well, you know, really? No names? You know, nobody to take liability for or responsibility for what they're saying?
Yeah.
So, just, yeah, question. Before you get engaged in the whole fear thing, question.
Good advice. Always your wise words. How does everybody get in touch with you? What's
my email is blackman.gale@gmail.com.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm on Facebook as well.
Well, that's great, because people need to be able to reach out to you, Gale, and benefit from the program that you have, the wise words, the wise wisdom, your wise approach. It's something that is desperately needed in these times of such craziness.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. And everybody, be sure to tune in on Sunday night from 6 to 8 p.m. for Gale and Nicole for their solution show. Thank you, Gale. We'll look forward to next time. I'm sorry about the delay.
Thanks. No problem. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you. Okay, guys, stay with us. We will be right back with more information that you need to get out there and share.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And we'll be right back after this message.
There is no denying the world is awakening. We see it in the global uprisings and demonstrations of the people around the planet and the new way of thinking and living that is arising naturally within each one of us and our communities. I have been a major player in this global shift and movement for over 20 years and have helped tens of thousands of people around the world change their lives and find their voice in order to help create the paradigm change we so desperately need. Join me here at Revolution Radio on the Just Bernard Show every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time for 2 hours of powerful interviews and discussion with some of the most influential visionaries of consciousness, alternative media, and suppressed knowledge. We promise to reveal the real matrix and empower your human experience.
You have a choice, whether to be a madman or a bold genius. What's the difference? A madman is somebody who does the same action over and over and over for an unknown destiny. A bold genius is somebody who does the same action over and over and over again for a known destiny. That is why fortune always favors the bold. True titans of our times and of the past, who are bent on making most of their opportunities in life, are too busy to bother with luck. Luck is the good fortune you determine for yourself. So find the strength, have the knowledge, summon up the courage to accomplish and see that your dreams are limitless. Your dreams are the fabric that binds all of us together. Rise up! Rise up like fire! Ascend the ladder of your dreams. We choose to rise, not fall. We choose to live, not die. Shift to your triumph. Today, you shift to your triumph. And carry your dreams forward until your life is a capital of triumph. I believe in you, and I know you can do whatever you want.
You have an unlimited potential.
This moment, this second, your life is an Olympian sunrise. This is your time.
This is your time. Right here at RevolutionRadio.com. To rise up and make the difference. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Listener supported. 100%.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And we are back. I thank you for listening. You are listening to Event Horizons. We come to you Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time here at Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com in Studio A. I have a story for you from sciencedaily.com. This came out yesterday. It's a study that was done at Chapman University showing what Americans fear the most. And the summary is that the Chapman Survey on American Fears included 1,500 participants from across the nation in all walks of life. The research team leading their effort pared the information down into four basic categories: personal fears, crime, natural disasters, and fear factors. So the survey has the top five things that Americans fear being walking alone at night, becoming the victim of identity theft, safety on the internet, being the victim of a mass random shooting, and public speaking. God, that is horrifying, guys, to think that those are the top fears from a poll of 1,500 participants. And they state that what initially led them into this line of research was a desire to capture this information on a year-over-year basis so that we can draw, the researchers, comparisons with what items are increasing in fear as well as decreasing. And that's from Dr. Christopher Bader, who led the team effort. And again, quoting him, "We learned through this initial survey that we had to phrase the questions according to fears versus concerns to capture the information correctly." So, the top most feared natural disasters are tornado and hurricane, earthquakes, floods, pandemic or major epidemic, and power outage. And despite these fears, only 25% of Americans have a disaster preparedness kit that includes water, food, clothing, and medical supplies. And once again, this is quoting Dr. Ann Gordon, who led a portion of the survey. She states that our research indicated Americans are aware, but better communication strategies are needed to encourage the nearly 75% who are unprepared for catastrophe. And again, we are conducting the follow-up studies to examine why so many Americans remain unprepared despite lessons learned from recent natural disasters. And we sure have had our share of those. So a lot of mixed information out there on so many fronts, guys. I mean, we can be jumping through hoops about everything. But once you're prepared and aware, you can be calm and you can know that, I'm covered, you know, in the event of some kind of natural disaster, loss of power, quarantined, you're covered. You've got your basics covered. Exhale, relax. It's okay because you prepared. And you've got to prepare if you need to leave the house as well for all of your family members, including those with four legs and your birds, all of them, even your fish. You got to be prepared, guys. So there's more information and there is, gosh, so many headlines here. Let me get to some of these others. And there is a new effective cost-saving way to detect natural gas pipeline leaks. And this is from the American Chemical Society. And this is something that we really need. And what they are doing, this is the summary. Major leaks from oil and gas pipelines have led to home evacuations, explosions, millions of dollars in lawsuit payouts, and valuable natural resources escaping into the air, ground, and water. Scientists say they have now developed a new software-based method that finds leaks, even when they're small, which could help prevent serious incidents and save money for the customers and industry. So we see that major leaks from oil and gas pipelines have led to those above described events and millions of dollars in lawsuit payable loss of resource. But in a report in the American Chemical Society's journal, Industrial and Engineering Chemistry Research, scientists say they have developed a new software-based method that finds leaks even when they're small, which could help prevent serious incidents and save money for customers and industry. Gary Valtinson and Miguel Bagajewis noted that the pipelines used to move oil, gas, and even water from one place to another are highly effective for the most part, but serious costly problems arise when the pipes break. Existing methods for detecting leaks are limited. Hardware-based approaches using special instrumentation are expensive. These systems don't model pressure drops in pipelines correctly. This leads to a lot of errors, particularly for gas pipelines. And these two researchers set out to fix the flaw and developed a method that compares pressure and flow rate measurements from a pipeline with a mathematical model that can accurately predict what the pressure and flow rate should be. Their technique successfully detected small leaks and reduced errors from 21% down to 3%, wow, when compared to existing software. The researchers estimated that their method would have saved millions of dollars more than other leak detection methods. Well, that is encouraging because we know that so many of the pipelines are old and cast iron and being retrofitted at this time. And it is, gosh, very, very important, very much needed that we have a safe way of checking this because many of the pipeline controls are done remotely. There's nobody on the scene, and that's very concerning. So let me get to another little development from the American Chemical Society, and this is kind of cool, guys. This is about a skin patch that could replace the syringe for disease diagnosis. So the summary is that drawing blood and testing it is standard practice for many medical diagnostics. As a less painful alternative, scientists are developing skin patches that could one day replace the syringe. Scientists now have designed and successfully tested for the first time a small skin patch that detected malaria problems in live mice. It could someday be adapted for use in humans to diagnose other diseases too. Well, as we know, drawing blood and testing it is standard practice for many medical diagnostics. As a less painful alternative, scientists are developing skin patches that could one day replace the syringe. So, Simon R. Corey and colleagues noted that while blood is rich with molecular clues that tell a story about a person's health, withdrawing it is often painful. It also requires trained personnel and expensive lab equipment and facilities for analysis. These factors don't lend themselves to patient compliance or accessibility in resource-limited places. Scientists have been trying to have been trying to address these hurdles by developing diagnostic patches that are covered on one side with thousands of microscopic hollow needles that can sample fluid in the skin. However many diseases can be diagnosed more reliably by detecting multiple biomarkers. Corey's team wanted to design a new patch that could meet this need. The researchers optimized their device so it could capture two biomarkers for the malaria parasite Plasmodium falciparum, which kills more than 1 million people every year. To test it, they injected malaria proteins into the bloodstream of live mice and applied the patch to their skin. The patch successfully captured the proteins in the skin tissue. Such devices, they conclude, could be used in the future to diagnose malaria and other infectious diseases in a less painful way. The authorities acknowledged funding from the Australian Research Council and the Australian Infectious Disease Research Centre. Very interesting information. Now, let me move on to some of the other areas. I've just got to find where I moved a whole bunch of stories around yesterday in preparation for today. And I'm trying to get back there, and I'm not getting over there yet. So just hang in with me, guys. I will get to those. Otherwise, I'll just go back to some of the other headlines that I have in place. And let me share this about the testing. And okay, and here we go. This is really interesting. And this was from World Truth TV, worldtruth.tv, and it's about ruins of an ancient city found in Antarctica. And this is about a California TV crew that has been missing since 2002, a video they left behind, and a mission by U.S. Navy SEALs. And those are the key elements in a story that claims extensive ancient ruins have been found under the ice of Antarctica. That's according to an archaeologist and adventurer, Jonathan Gray, of the World Education Research Limited, in his free newsletter, Archaeology News Flash. So, we do have, let me see, we do have some video about this, and there's short little clips that I can play for you. And one of them is about ancient pyramids found in Antarctica. Very, very cool, and I'm looking forward to seeing this. And let's see how it loads. Okay, a team of researchers claim they discovered several ancient pyramids on the ice-covered continent of Antarctica. And I'm wondering if there is audio to go along with this, because, oh my God, that is what is popping out. They have researchers from the United States and several other from various European countries. Two of the huge pyramid structures were found approximately 10 miles inland. And the pictures, I have no idea if these are real or not. They do show an obvious pyramid, and the team's currently planning an expedition to research one of the pyramids and find out if it's natural or artificial. No further details were reported from the team, and this is quite dramatic in appearance. And okay, my friends, let's see what one of the others have. There are several others of these audios, and let me read this to you, because I don't think I could read the copy on this. I don't think we have anybody speaking on this. Wow, these pyramids are very, very dramatic looking. And a team of researchers claim they've discovered three ancient pyramids on the ice-covered continent of Antarctica. Exact details are sketchy. Can it possibly be that Antarctica was once warm enough in the recent past to actually have had an ancient civilization living there? And even more perplexing is the question, if an advanced culture did develop there, are there any structures still remaining? So this team of researchers is making the claim they found evidence of several ancient pyramids on the ice-covered continent of Antarctica. very, very interesting. So they've not released much information on their discovery. Few pictures are leaked on the internet, and there will be updates if these pictures truly display artificial pyramids or just the rocky tops of mountains. But the images are intriguing and definitely warrant further research. So let's get on to the, I believe this is, well, there are a couple more. These are longer. I don't think we have time for them. I don't think there's any audio. Let's see if there is. If it's just more copy, then I will read this to you. Here we go.
YouTube friends has found that there's a entrance to what appears to be an underground
They're zooming in
structure
on this image.
And the Russians, with their deep probing satellites, have said that there's something they've constructed 12,000 feet underground. So we'll just go and look at it, what it looks like.
Okay. Let me get back to this because I think they're just zooming in with the images, so we're really not going to hear that much here. So, because there's been so much speculation for years about Antarctica and where a lot of the Nazis go to after World War II. So many stories that are. Okay, we are back. We lost the connection, and we are back. I don't know what you did or did not hear, so I am sorry about that. We were talking about finds in Antarctica by a group doing research there that has video that they will be sharing once it is returned to them. So let me get to some update about what is going on around the world. Gosh, I guess everybody's been so distracted. There has been a lot of reporting on Fukushima lately. So some of the headlines about Fukushima are that they've never heard of so much sickness and death in such a short period. That's from a Fukushima evacuee. And they write about strange diseases in young people, deadly tumors and hemorrhages, pets missing hair, children losing all their fingernails, multi-fingered babies, and a doctor says, my friends are dying of cancer one after another. And, of course, we've heard this before, that the government reports reveal Fukushima's radioactive release is much larger than Chernobyl. Japanese TV anchor saying that he couldn't tell the truth about Fukushima. Shocking revelations have been kept secret from the public, and a nuclear scientist stating he has not trusted the information from the beginning. The worst scenario, and they're stating, oh my gosh, this is very, I don't know why these calls keep, they're stating in this article that the first tests that were done, this was October 16th when this was published, so it was a week ago with the typhoon, show radioactive material continues rising near the ocean and they can't do anything more to stop it. The depth and scope of contamination flowing out are unknown. So lots of challenges around the world, guys, and the best thing that each and every one of us can do is not panic, not to be prepared. Be prepared with your supplies, your food, your clean water, your bug out bags, you know, in case you do have to leave. Make sure if you take prescription medication, guys, that you have enough on hand. For those who are transplant patients, it's of critical importance that you contact your physicians and let them know that you're concerned and you want to make sure that you can be prepared and have extra medication available to you. It's a big deal, and it is something that is part of your preparations. And for all who are on pharmaceutical medication or any type of regimen, make sure you cover the bases, that you're prepared, that you have those supplies available. So what I wanted to share with you for tomorrow, we will have Dan Martin on with us in the second hour of the show, and he has launched an amazing project. I was so excited when I read about this, and it's really cool because he was doing special workshops about hydroponics, something that is truly a big deal. And oh, we're going to run out of time. And he has a Kickstarter project, and it's about free food. Free food, free meals, free everything at this site. And this is what he will tell us about, because it is truly a wonderful concept. Now, guys, I'm trying to get some more information up here, and it is a free-to-dine and shop restaurant grocery store filled with organic non-GMO produce and protein grown and raised on-site. So that's tomorrow in the last hour. We'll learn more about this impressive project and how we can get involved, and maybe how we can reproduce it in more places, because it's desperately needed. And it's about taking care of ourselves and each other. And it is very, very exciting information. So be sure to tune in tomorrow. There will be a lot more there. I'm hearing the music in the background, but it's not picking up. I'm not sure what's going on, because things have been very confusing with the Skype connection. But guys, I thank you all for listening. I thank you for your support. Without you guys, none of this would be possible. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more of Event Horizons here at freedomslips.com in Studio A at Revolution Radio. We are on from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, with lots of information that you guys need to get out there and share. That's your responsibility. That's the responsibility for all of us that learn more and more about the events that are taking place around the world. We can make it better. We can make a difference. And it just takes joining together, reaching out to others, and being part of the solution, guys. Critical importance, because the knowledge gives power and gives perspective, and suddenly the fear dissipates. So I thank you all for being here, and I thank our network for the opportunity to get such important information out to each and every one of you. It's just, here we go. I have no idea what I was hearing in the background, but now it's coming through. So get out and share. You have heard, friends. You can make it better. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
You have a choice, whether to be a madman or a bold genius. What's the difference? A madman is somebody who does the same action over and over and over for an unknown destiny. A bold genius is somebody who does the same action over and over and over again for a known destiny. That is why fortune always favors the bold. True
titans of our times and of the past, who are bent on making most of their opportunities in life, are too busy to bother with luck. Luck is the good fortune you determine for yourself. So find the strength. Have the knowledge. Summon up!